I mean, I've seen like, you know, Fox News where they say, you need $200,000 to make this thing. And it's totally not true. If you look at young kids today with a camera and editing software, they can make videos like this with a DSLR with next to nothing. So those reports of these videos costing $200,000 are ridiculous. Even the fact that they have different media wings, Islamic State has Al-Hayat Media and Al-Fukran or whatever. Even the fact that they have these media wings, it's not like you go into an office and there's 100 people working there. It's a very talented kid with a DSLR filming these kind of videos, and he probably has some people that go out on site to film battles, and he probably edits them. So they have this illusion, in the same way that a young man starting a business in this country would not call himself by his name. He'd make a production company. That's exactly what they're doing.
If you have only a modicum of training, you can put out something that looks fairly well put together professionally. It doesn't take a lot of personnel, it doesn't take a lot of money. So I think it's easy to attribute these things to some sort of more professional organization than there probably is behind it.
In my opinion, these are videos that a high school student could do and put on YouTube. The difference is the subject matter is very serious, and when we see these things presented in that light, it's different. So, for example, there was a lot of Al-Qaeda VHS tapes of super gruesome beheadings, but they didn't quite resonate or scare people because it just looks sloppy and it could be true, it could be untrue. These are choreographed and very well thought out and produced for a mass audience.
This is William Birnbach, sharing his ideas in modern advertising in the 1950s. All of us who professionally use the mass media are the shapers of society. We can vulgarize that society, we can brutalize it, or we can help lift it onto a higher level.
This place was the witness on one of many ISIL atrocities committed against civilian Iraqis in the city of Tikrit.
Press TV images showing discovery of a mass grave in Tikrit, Iraq. This footage will remind us of the many massacres that have taken place throughout history. But will extremism and violence in this area be forgotten after ISIL is beaten and driven out?
This is one of the mass graves found in Salah ad-Din province after the liberation of the province. Now, this grave was found 2 days after the liberation of Tikrit city from ISIL militants.
You can find beheadings, you can find these kind of atrocities in many different groups. The difference with Islamic State is they don't mind broadcasting it and they don't mind sharing it as part of their tactic and overall strategy.
Beheadings and executions in general have been commonplace in many governments and religions throughout history. From the ancient Greek to the Marie Antoinette administration and unto the time of John the Baptist, public executions were carried out to send a strong message to others. And this tool evolved in and of itself in the 20th century. Perhaps if there were smartphones during the Katyn massacre, we would have a different understanding of that catastrophe. There were accounts of many beheadings during the Russo-Chechen as well as the Serbian-Bosnian wars. And around that time, Chechen rebels began using recorded beheadings as a tool to spread fear. One video they produced showed the execution of six Russian soldiers in the middle of the forest. Yet the video was much different from the ones ISIL has been putting out. The Russian soldiers squirmed and heaved under duress, trying to break away and escape. ISIL solved this problem with the administration of drugs to calm their captives before their respective execution.
They must have been drugged. Something must have happened. It's impossible to drag someone to his death place and keep him calm even if he knows that it's a scam. These videos are to scare away the enemies and normal people like us so they reach their goals.
There are also reports that ISIL tells the captives they only want to record a video message to be sent out to their governments, as in Stephen Sotloff's case. And upon the captive's completion of his statement, he is abruptly beheaded.
I am Stephen Joel Sotloff. I'm sure you know exactly who I am by now and why I am appearing before you.
We decided to visit a slaughterhouse and ask a professional about ISIL's beheading techniques. Our encounter turned out to be quite informative, as we were walked through the proper method of decapitation.
I started the slaughtering as soon as I started this job.
4 or 5 years ago.
How did you feel?
Well, for the first time you get a bit excited. Now I feel normal.
It gives you a sense of power, a sense of superiority when you see your hands covered with blood of a cow.
Then it was time to gauge the reactions to ISIL's handiwork. We showed them an ISIL beheading video. One was immediately angered, feeling that we were drawing a reference to what he did and what ISIL does.
If these videos are real, the slayer must be so cruel. You must be a monster to behead another human being.
We were also surprised to see Majid, the head of the group who slaughters roughly 1,200 cows per month, couldn't stomach watching the ISIL production. He walked out of the interview, despite our attempts to keep him on set.
Wait a minute, please. It gets on my nerve.
Don't you want to watch the video?
No.
Before ISIL, Al-Qaeda began beheading Westerners to send a strong message out to their enemies. Their propaganda endeavor began in 2002, when they executed American citizen Daniel Pearl on camera in Pakistan. Then, shortly afterwards in 2004, they beheaded 10 more captives on camera. The practice became more and more common as terrorists began to realize how effective the shock factor is and the impact it has on their intended audience. They began to modify their techniques and the quality of their productions to trigger an unparalleled sense of terror and repulsion in their audience. These are some of the beheaded, well known to many due to their nationalities and ISIL's relentless efforts to extort ransom from the governments for their release. According to UN statistics, through March of 2015, 24,000 people in Iraq have been killed by ISIL. But the only ones who seem to matter in the media are the dozen or so Westerners. The other 99%+ of the group's victims remain nameless, faceless, and irrelevant, according to most Western governments and their respective media. Another contradiction evident in ISIL is its unorthodox interpretation of the Quran over treatment of captives in Islam. For example, in verse 70 of the Infal within the Holy Book, it reads, O Prophet, say to those of the captives who are in your hands, if Allah knows any good in your hearts, He will give you something better than what was taken from you, and He will forgive you, and Allah is forgiving and merciful.
This is the end that they face. Walhamdulillah wal izzatu lil mu'mineen.
You cannot tell me any reference from the glorious Quran or from the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where jungle justice is meted out to anybody.
Islamic warfare has none of this in it. There are ayat and there are hadiths of the Prophet that forbid this.
It is just a superficial quotation from Quran, as according to some of the narrations describing the Khawarij during the early period of Islam, the Imam said, or the Prophet says, يقرؤون القرآن ولا يتجاوزوا تراقيهم, means it's just a matter of vocal recitation of Quran.
For people who have studied their history, the army of Muawiyah was configured in a Byzantine way, because Hisham was part of Byzantium, and so the first beheading in Islamic history is not attributed to Islamic teachings or Islamic warfare.
What the Islamic State is using is a old jihadist textbook from Al-Qaeda called Management of Savagery. What that text basically says is that you need to create chaos and create a power vacuum, and then jihadist tactics can be successful in that vacuum. If they were to meet the Americans on the battlefield with weaponry and with technology, they have no chance. So their best tactic is actually called Management of Savagery. This is the Islamic State's, I think, most gruesome video that was aimed toward the West. And it's aimed at the West for a few reasons, is we have an English speaker, okay, we have Jihadi John. But also, if you look at the executioners, we have someone who could represent a foreign fighter from every country of the world. So, like, this guy is from France. They found out his mother recognized him from the video clip. We have some guys who look like Malaysian or perhaps from Indonesia, something like that. So you can tell that, like, watching this, that they purposely casted these people to be in this video. These fighters might be in a foreign fighter brigade together, or they might be casted, if you will, from different brigades to make this video.
So it should not surprise you when operations by the Muslims are executed where it hurts you the most, on your very own soil, in retaliation to your unprovoked acts of aggression.
Comfort for one reason alone, for Allah Azza wa Jal. And inshallah, after Sham, after Iraq, after Jazeera, we are going for you, Barack Obama.
A level of technological sophistication, if you like, that we hadn't really seen before with, or we wouldn't usually associate with Islamic fundamentalism.